If you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. In our study of the Gospel of John, we are looking at that which God has given by his penman, John, the last living apostle. And it sums up all of the Old Testament, New Testament, all of human history up to that point, and that which is to come. God is the creator of the universe, of everything. There's nothing existing that God didn't create. And being the creator, he is to be honored, especially by humans who he created in a very special way. And therefore the Gospel of John is to present to us, as it says in Isaiah, behold thy God. Behold, in Matthew, behold thy King. In John, behold thy God. Now, having said that little bit, here in the Gospel of John, as we have gone, and remember now Jesus' background a little bit. He has gone the 8 days in the Feast of Tabernacles. He has, in the process, and in the process, leaving, they're going to stone him because they said, he said who he was. He said, I am that I am. And they knew that what that meant. And they couldn't conceive, they couldn't fathom that a man could be God. It was too hard for them. So therefore, they tried to stone him to death, as always. And in the process, Jesus went and picked out a blind man who was at the gate, and he had the blind man, blind from birth, which is very rare, to heal. And in the process, blind from birth, and the blind man followed his instructions to the letter, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did, and he saw his face for the first time. And in his coming and going, the parents, he went back having sight, seeing everything, colors and everything, for the first time. And he went, as you know, his parents, family, friends, finally to the Pharisees because of all of that. And no one was enjoying the wonderment that he was of being able to see. And he learned and was educated in the process, as we studied chapter 9, that the Pharisees and the people were generally spiritually and mentally blind. And that was far more devastating than to be physically blind. And he learned that. And he yearned to what? To meet the person that did this to him. And he didn't care about their opposition. He didn't care they wanted to kill him. He didn't care about any of it. He just wanted to meet that person that gave him physical sight, because he now was looking for spiritual sight. And the Lord introduced himself, as we shared, in chapter 9, verse 35, and onward. Now in the process, the blind man is going to go, and the Lord gave the illustration of why he picked a blind man, why he did what he did, in chapter 9 verse 39 to 41. Those that see and didn't want and said they saw, they didn't have any problems. They saw and they understood, like the Pharisees. So God, you can't help us, you can't teach us. And they insisted on rejecting him, the light of the world. And therefore they were left in the saying and claiming strongly, we see, that they were blind. And therefore when you come to the end of verse 41, their sin remained. They didn't get saved. They weren't being saved. They were continuing to reject the light. They were set and said that we see and we understand enough. The blind man was willing to receive, at by sheer faith, going and washing in the pool of Siloam. And he did that by faith. He believed. Had nothing to go. He just yearned to have what was God said was made possible. And he took it. He went for it. Now, the problem was that the Pharisees, etc., are out to stone him. The people don't understand, that should understand, the Jewish people in general. They should have understood. So therefore, he's going to give the illustration. Immediately, the same group is there. They're standing there. He then goes to chapter 10. He goes right, they're standing there, and he moves directly to chapter 10 in John's account. And in the process of all of that, remember that we shared together last time that God, in his grace and kindness, as you read in Ezekiel 34, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to do that. And in the process we shared together in John 15, that heaven, God, and angels rejoice over one sinner, one person that repents. Here's one blind man. God, you're going to put it together for us. Keeps building so we can understand that the Jews were rejecting the solution for their situation in the person of Jesus Christ. And that a blind man was stepping out of the crowd and believing. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Here's a blind man. And I want you to know, said our Lord, as they looked, as he gave him sight. And remember now, over in chapter 9, verse 34, they answered and said unto him, the Pharisees, Thou wast altogether born in sins. This is to the blind man, I should say. And the Pharisees are saying to the blind man, and you are blind, mentally, spirit. You, in other words, before you were in the mother's womb, you were a sinner. And that's what they were pushing it. And verse 34, the end. And dost thou teach us? Are you daring to teach us authorities? You who were a sinner before you were ever born, as far as they were concerned. And thus they threw him out. Now that's the background. That's the background for chapter 10. And in the light of that, if you would, remember the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as shepherd, we're going to look at all of that, as a shepherd, he delights to say it, God, the great I am, our Lord Jesus Christ, is delighted to save. He's going to give himself to Calvary's cross. He is delighted to save one person whosoever that would believe. He is delighted to save that person. Hang on to that. God is satisfied, delighted to save you. Not your delight, his delight, God's delight to save you. That's what God's excited about. And the heart, as the blind man and the Luke 15 and all of that, the believing heart gets excited that God was excited to save them. And they are appreciative and they are thankful for God to save them. God is delighted and takes joy in your being saved. Do you understand that? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is delighted when you do that. It isn't just something, oh hum, I received the Lord as my Savior. It isn't an oh hum thing at all. At all. Now, having said that, and he's seeking to seek and to save that which is lost. Now the Pharisees, remember, they said they had plenty of light, and they rejected the light. They loved darkness rather than light. And they chose to be in the darkness. They did not want to come out of the darkness. And so in the process now, here's chapter 10. And chapter 10 is dealing with these people and the blind man. If you would, in chapter 10, go over to verse 21. And verse 21 ends this section in God's accounting. 10 and 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now that's the end, that's the setting, and the Lord Jesus Christ is delivering up to chapter 10, 1 through 21. He's delivering that in front of them. And, interestingly enough, we're going to do, over in chapter 10, after introducing the illustration, verse 6, 10:6. This parable, this coming alongside for comparison, for illustration. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them of. Now that's awesome. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Now what is it they didn't understand that is so awesomely interesting that they didn't understand? Now, in the light of that, John chapter 10, what they didn't understand. John chapter 10, and in verse 1, he begins, verily, verily, verily. Remember, when you say it twice, like he does in the Gospel of John 25 times, he says, verily, verily. It means amen. Some translations will say amen. It is so. It is so, it is so, it is so, it is absolute. And when you put it together, it arrests your attention. It is so, so be it. It's loud like that, comes right out. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's absolutely an imperative for you to understand this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So if anyone tries to get through the door, by means of the door, how do you get into this sheepfold? How do you get into the place? You have to go through the door. There's a wall, as we're going to look at. And you have to go through. There's only one way in, one way out. There are no other ways. The only thing you can do is climb over the wall. So if you don't go through the door legitimately, then you're going to have to go some other way, and the only other way is over the wall, and then you are intruding, invading as a thief and as a robber. The word thief is used of Judas. The word robber is used of Barabbas, a robber. A thief, to steal, to deceive. The word thief means to deceive, a secret thing. And the word robber has to do with violence. You don't intend any good for the sheep. Everything in the fold, you have no interest in any good in it. You read it in Ezekiel. The people back then in the days of the Babylonian captivity, they were interested in their own comforts, in their own whatever, and they didn't care about their responsibilities to the people. They were sheep with no shepherd. Now, so here we are looking, and in chapter 10, and verily, verily, I say unto he that entereth not, N-O-T, by the door, the only way in, into the sheepfold, but climbers up some other way is a thief and a robber. So therefore, you want to keep in mind a little bit about what they knew. It isn't what we know, because we can read this and we don't understand in our Western culture, etc. Now, what do they know? Well, you have to remember now that in their setting, here is the plateau, the Judean plateau. Here's Hebron down here in the south. And I'm going to slide up past Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and here's Bethel. That's 35 miles approximately. 35 miles long, 17 miles wide approximately, is the Judean plateau. Mostly rocky, bumpy. What did they do mostly in that area? They shepherded the sheep. It wasn't farming. It was shepherding. That's what they did. They lived with it. How awesome. You don't understand my illustration, said the Lord. You live with it every day, and you don't understand what I'm telling you. Now, have that little bit in mind. So here's the sheepfold, the pen, and they had it at the house. If you went to a house, the wall would be out there like this, fence, wall, and there'd be an opening where you come in, and all the animals, the sheep and goats, etc., would be kept there at night. And if you went to a village, a town, they would have a main area against the buildings, and there would be another big wall with an entrance where people, the shepherds, brought in their flocks at night and kept them in that area. That's what they did. So whether you lived in the village, you lived in a house, in the neighborhood, they all had these places, those that had sheep and goats, etc. And so they would go in. There's only one gate into it. There's a wall around it so the animals couldn't get out. And in the process, there'd be more than one flock, depending on if it was especially in a village, more than one flock in the same place, all kept in there, and the wall, the gate, and the gate was there to let them in. The wall was there to protect them. And you need to remember now, so keep in mind, in the light of that, if they were out in the field enough, they would build a wall out there, especially on a slope, build a wall, and the sheep would go in there at night, and then the door, the one gate, they'd have one opening, and in that case, the shepherd would bring them all in. The shepherd would lay down across the, that's when he went to bed, he laid down across that opening so the sheep couldn't get out without crossing over him. And he blocked the gate with his own body. Now, in the process of all of that, and remember now, in the opening, they go in there at night, etc. And in the process of that, you have to keep in mind, remember now, they have no sheepdogs. You think of some places and they have the dogs that tend the sheep. They didn't have dogs to tend the sheep at all. They didn't have dogs for that. And they went and the level, the whole area, wasn't a great big grassy field. You had to go keep moving around to find the grassy areas for them to graze. And now, remember now, a shepherd is never off duty. He's never off duty. The shepherd is on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the shepherd is well known, weather beaten. You would know the shepherds when you see them. They are people that are marked by what they are and what they did. Now, in the light of that, remember, there was no flock. You would never see a bunch of sheep grazing without a shepherd. They always had a shepherd. The shepherd, as we shared, was never off duty. And in the process now, in the process of all of that, so the shepherd would go, and in the process, he'd protect the sheep, provide for the sheep. He'd govern the sheep. He'd guide the sheep. He'd take care of the sheep's health. The sheep need feeding and all of that. And he did everything, security. God did all of that for them. And so the shepherd was a symbol of providence, taking care of things. In fact, not just Jews, they would call their king a shepherd. David, a shepherd. Saul, a shepherd. Other countries would label their rulers kings, Caesars, shepherds. What's the job of the up there? To take care of everything, make sure it is right as it ought to be. And so they guarded the flock against wolves and thieves and robbers. And in the process, being weather-beaten, leaning on their staff, you would see them. And they would have their script of their equipment. They would have a script of leather made from an animal, leather bag made from an animal. And in there would be bread and dried fruit, olives, cheese. That's what they had in their little bag. And they had a sling. Remember, they didn't have sheepdogs. And so whenever the sheep are prone to wander, which we're going to look at, and the sheep, what did they do? Well, the sheep would wander, and as they just wander, sheep are sort of stupid. And you'll like it when we look at it. All we like sheep have got astray. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the process of that, here they are, and how did he go? We didn't have sheepdogs, and the sheep would go, and he'd take his sling, and he'd throw the stone, and the stone would land, here's the sheep moving, and the stone would land right in front of the sheep. The sheep would get the message and turn around and come back. That's how they, one of the ways that they took care of them. He fired the stone in front. He had a staff, a wooden staff, a club, a short club, often studded with nails to fight the animals, etc. He had a rod, he had a staff, he had a rod, and in the process, the rod was used to, the shepherd's rod, a shepherd's crook, staff, a pole. And in the process, he'd do all the carrying, leaning, counting, and the sheep going in and out, the sheep especially coming in at night. He would have the rod out there, as you read in Ezekiel and Leviticus. He'd have the rod out there, and the sheep had to go down low. The sheep had to pass under that rod before they could enter the fold, the pen, the gate, through the gate. And they'd have to go under that rod, and he would give them a quick examination to see if they were hurt, there was anything wrong, and he would check them as they went in, one after another. He would do that with his staff. Now, and the sheep were not kept to eat as much as they were kept for fleece or wool. So they weren't, and so the shepherd got to really know the sheep, to say the least. And in the process, and so with all of that wonderful stuff going on, and so here's the world system. And in John chapter 10, the world system, what are you saying, God? Well, here I'm trying to help the people of Israel. I'm trying to help them. And the people of Israel are not receiving the help that I am trying to do for them. And they aren't doing it. So the world system, the satanic system, hates the light, hates Christ, hates anything God's saving grace. And they don't want, and they hate being, they don't want whosoever's, which all of us are, they don't want whosoever's to be believing. That's what they don't want. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. So now, here is the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were the willing executioners, thieves and robbers. They're the willing executioners against the will of God for whosoever to believe. Chapter 8, quickly, chapter 8. Picking up, if I can, in verse 44, remember when we did chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the Pharisees, etc., were tools to go against all of God's wonderful grace. Now, in the process of that, chapter 10, and in verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So you have to go through. The only one that can go through the door rightly is the shepherd. And he's the shepherd. He has free access into the fold, the pen where they are. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. So he's the shepherd, and the shepherd has the right to go into the pen. And so here's the, remember what you're looking at in front of the house in the town. And he has the right. That's where the sheep go. They're his sheep. And verse 3, in the process of all of that, you will keep in mind, and to him the porter openeth, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So now, the shepherd goes in, and there's a doorkeeper, that's the word porter, P-O-R-T-E-R, porter, doorkeeper, one that opens the door, the gatekeeper, who guards the entrance, so that protects it at night, and he guards it. Now, so in the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd's able to go in, the shepherd enters the place, the porter lets him in, because he has the right to be there, and the sheep, and the shepherd goes in and calls the sheep when it's time to go out in the morning to leave the pen, the fold, and to go out into the back out to graze out in the field. And so therefore, when the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So now, the porter's job is to guide and direct the porter's job is to protect the sheep, and the shepherd's job is to guide and direct the sheep as they go in and out. Now in the process, and there is no other legitimate way to enter. There is no other legitimate way to enter into the pen at all. And the sheep hear his voice, present tense, they hear his voice. And when the keeper opens the door and the shepherd enters, the shepherd will give his voice. There's, remember, different flocks there. And they didn't have brands. They didn't put brands on them. They didn't have brands. The sheep were identified and would come to know the shepherd. And all the sheep were identified by the shepherd's voice. The shepherd would say his sound, his way he did it. And in the process, the sheep that knew that would go to him. And so now they knew his voice. And he calleth the sheep by name. He calls them all by name. And he hears them. So the shepherd they have a wonderful relationship to the shepherd. And the shepherd is on the job 24 hours a day, and the shepherd's job is to know them by name, as it were, and he leadeth them out. So now, having known to know them by name, I'm just trying to give you the flavor of the five verses that they should have understood. They lived in it. Then we're going to put it together. But you need to get the movement of it. Because they're there doing what they do. And they should have understood. An obvious illustration. Now, so in the process, the sheep, verse 3, his own sheep, they're his own. They aren't somebody else's. They belong to him personally. By that I mean he is in charge of those sheep. And they follow him and they know his voice. Now, over coming back there, but go over with me, please, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, just so you can pick up a little bit on it. Isaiah chapter 43. If I may, in verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord, 43:1 Isaiah. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why not? For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Verse 7. Every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I have called thee, he calls the sheep, and the sheep know him. No question. Now, over if you would, chapter 45 for a moment. Isaiah 45, picking up about Cyrus. I will give thee, remember before Cyrus is born, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. that purpose thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. And Cyrus, you aren't even born yet, but you're telling the people there's one coming out of the Persian Empire named Cyrus, and he is going to give the right to go back after the 70 years captivity and all of that. Now, in the light of that, back over to chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, you say now, the sheep know his voice. We've just reminded ourselves in a couple of places that God knows everyone that is saved. And all Israel, God, you know them. I do. That's why I will say, Moses. That's why I will say, Samuel. I know them. Now you say, well, that's something. And if you ever had children that had to do that, and you get a name book with all these names in it. Okay. Now, God, here's the sheep. Now, when they had thousands of sheep, like some of them, then they didn't do it. But most people didn't have thousands of sheep. So each one of them were important. Each sheep was important. So now, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that's all the stars, that bringeth out the host of them, the number of them. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong and powerful, not one faileth. So here, remember we share the stars, we're past us. The latest thing I got was that the understandable universe that you can see with the Hubble and all of those scopes up there is between 100 and 200 billion, B-I-L-L, billion galaxies, billion, with trillions and trillions and zillions of stars, which go on through into space. A God, you know all their names, you have a name for them. I do. Now, what does that do for you? I know their names, but it's impossible. No, it isn't. It's only 2 or 3 billion, trillions, trillions. What's that got to do? That's nothing for me. Over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. May I pick up in the church in Sardis? Chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation 3, 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name in the book of life. God, you mean you had us all? We haven't even started. Adam, we just did in Sunday school, Adam, and billions of people coming out. And you got them all listed. I do. I have them all listed. I do. Is there anyone going to come that you don't know about? Nope. No accidents. No mistakes. I got them. I know them all. I do. In the book of life, verse 5, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So God, you know the name. You do. You're able to identify each one in a most personal way. You can do that. You can call them. You summons them by thy name. I do. Now that's rather personal, if you ask me. And so that every human being on any part of the world, the Sahara Desert, Australia, South America, North America, Europe, Russia, what difference does it make? God, you know every one of them. I do. I died for them. I died, if there was only one, I would have had to die. But I made many to prove the point. Now, over, if you would please, back over to John 10. John chapter 10. And, if I may, he leadeth them out, chapter 10, and in verse 3, he leadeth them out. He leads them out. And when he leads them out, and verse 4, he leads them out of the pen to go to graze in the field out there. And when he putteth, verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep. Now the word put forth is the word you had over in when in chapter 4, chapter 9, verse 34. In verse 34, the end of the state, verse 34, chapter 9, and they cast him out, they threw him out. Now this is the same verb. They threw the man out. God drew the man out. Now, it's the same verb. And when he putteth forth, he casteth forth his own sheep, he brings them out of the fold, he brings them out, and when he brings them out of the fold, he's bringing them out, and in the process, as he brings them out, he goes, in verse 4, he goeth before them. He goes before them, in front of them. He leads them as they go. They follow the shepherd. The shepherd goes first, and he leads them to where they're going to go, to green pastures or wherever he's going to take them. He's going to lead them that day out, and he leads them. He goes before. For them, he goes before them, and they're his own, he putteth forth his own, O-W-N, verse 4, they are his personal sheep, they are his personal responsibility, he personally is responsible for the sheep. Did the sheep pick someone like that? Did the sheep even conceive anyone would be that responsible for them? Never. Never could you dream that anyone would be that responsible for you. To know your name before anything was ever created. To go ahead and create you at a given point in history, which is where we are now. To care. No one cares for me. For you. Like he does. No one does. You dumb Pharisees, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You got shepherds and sheep all over the place. And you're blind to what he's telling you. You know why? It's too personal. And without getting, because it's another whole subject, which we've done different times. Do you know one of the things we like about people? That they, the family, marriage, husband, wife, all, you know what we like about them? They're not too personal. We don't like people to be that personal about our life. And when you get that personal about our life, of one's life, you sort of put your wall up. That's what you, instinctively you do it. You put the wall up. You don't want to know. That's why it's so hard to get saved. Because God needs, that's why D.L. Moody and those dear people had their wonderful experiences. Because they'd say, God, I'm looking at your soul and you need to be saved. And when you say you're looking, you mean you're looking inside of me, you want to know the inside as it is, and you're trying to talk about my being as I am, that's, we reject that. Don't talk to me like that. And we reject that personal. It's too personal. We don't mind you being impersonal. Get married and everything. Just don't be that personal about my life. And people like that. And that's why they don't get saved. They don't want to have that. God's personal. Personal. He knows your name. He knows all about, from head to toe, all about us. Wow. So now they know. They know. He putteth forth his own sheep, and they know his voice. Now in the process, in the process of that, they know, and they would have the sheep, you know, the black ear and all the different names they'd have to tag whatever the sheep, shepherd would call his sheep. And the sheep knew their name. They knew when he called them. They knew his voice. And they would, verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And that is a double negative. It's almost, they absolutely will not follow. You could go, and here's the pen, the gatekeeper opens the door, and the shepherd's there, and the shepherd is only going to get a response from his sheep. There's no other sheep that will respond. And if another person comes in and calls, those sheep will never respond to that man's voice. They will not do it. They will not do it. Absolutely, double negative. No, triple, no, they won't do it. They will not do it. There's no one else like God. Blind man, what did you know? Someone told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the voice, I knew, whoever it is, had a great authority. And I obeyed, and I see. God hears all the sheep, and you know them. Now, God, when I come to know you as my Lord and Savior, when I come to know you, there's no one like you. There's many false Christ, false prophets. There's going to be an Antichrist, as we've been looking at night. But no one takes your place. They come with the traditions of men, but you wouldn't hear the traditions of men once you got saved. You wouldn't do that. No, sir. God, your word, God, there's no replacing you any way, shape, or form, and therefore they know. Chapter 8, John, chapter 8 and verse 12. The sheep will follow him. And then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth, there's your word, followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So once you start, man, who's going to go back in the dark? I'm going to follow the light. I don't follow the dark corridors. Over to chapter 12, John chapter 12. Wonderful statement. 12 and 26. If any man, you may or may not, third class condition, if any man may or may not serve me, let him follow me. If you're gonna honor me, follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You're gonna follow him. Thou know my sheep because they follow me. I lead and they follow. And when they don't follow, they aren't my sheep. They aren't my sheep. Only my sheep follow me. Only my sheep. And you know, I'm going to lead you. And by the way, without stopping for that, in John 14, etc. 2. I go ahead of you, is the word, verb, to prepare a place for you. I'm ahead of you here. Before you go anywhere, and I'm ahead of you there. I lead you. The shepherd leads the sheep. He protects the sheep. He provides for the sheep. He does it. Wow. Now, in the process of that, chapter 9, and in verse 6 again. They should have known, they did, the word you're looking at, parable, means the word by and away, by and away. And now, by way, a common saying which was used, you'd hear it in the street if you lived in that day. And in the process, they didn't understand. They didn't understand. They should have understood, but they didn't understand. They should have done so. Now, in the process, God, you know, and you're going to have to help them. Because they just don't understand. Now, God, and because you're the shepherd, God, and remember, shepherds, Boy, they're hard to find. And you don't want to think of shepherds. There's shepherds, but shepherds pay a dear price. A dear price. That's why the Lord said shepherds are hard to find. Hard to find shepherds. Wow. Now, so God, here we are, and looking, and in the process, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. God will do it another way. We'll try it. John chapter 13, you remember the context. He spoke to them in parables. Chapter 13, Matthew, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Well, why isn't it given to them? Why isn't it theirs? Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not. What did you have in John 9, 39, 40? What was the problem? The Pharisees said, We see, and we're absolutely blind, but we won't honor it, we won't confess it, we won't be realistic about it. And God said, Your sin remains. Your sin remains. Wow. Because seeing, they said they see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. By seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For the heart reason, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Lest, we don't want it to happen, lest at any time they see with their eyes, then I have to change. I have to let God deal with my heart. Well, I don't want that to happen. And hear with their ears. I really don't want to hear things rightly. And I don't want to understand with their heart, lest they should be converted and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. God, we want to be able to be in the place. The blind man who now could see is blessed. The people who said they got after him because he had sight, and because he honored Jesus Christ, they were blind. They were not blessed. They were cursed. So now, God, in closing, what have we got? Well, over in closing, you'll see it. Revelation chapter 3. The shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made one serious commitment to us guys, to everyone. He rolled up his sleeves before anything ever was and determined to follow it all the way through to Calvary's cross, his resurrection, and his coming again. He was a one committed God. And you'll notice, and we can't do it now, but he is the door. I am the door. I am the fold. I am the shepherd. Do you understand? I'm God. And there's no one else to take my place or to compete with me. So when I do something, I am that I am. I do it all. You see? I'm the Savior. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the substitute. Wow. I have to do it all. That's why I tell you these things, to try to help. God, why not someone else help you? There is no one to help me. I'm only God, the only one. And God has to do it all, and he wonderfully does. Revelation 3, verse 20, remember the end. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, man or woman, boy or girl, hear my voice, the sheep hear the voice, God, and open the door, I will come into him, not to the house, that's to the person, inside the person, and I will sup with him and he with me. God, you'd say, if anyone here, God, when you say, He that heareth my word and him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you hear? That's why we read God's word. That's why we pay attention. Not a whole lot of thoughts about other stuff. What does it say? What does it say? Hear my word and honor me. My sheep know my voice. I would know if I had the Book of Mormon, the Quran, or any other book. This one stands out as the only book in all of the millions, and well, how many books? It's the only one there is in all the world that's thus saith the Lord. You only have one Bible. So if you want to know God, one book. Travel all over the world. Go to the Library of Congress. There's thousands. I have lots of religious books. They're original books. Mary Ellen Baker and all of that stuff. There's only this. And God. The blind man. I was delighted when he got saved. I am not delighted with the Pharisees and the people that are not responding to the light. They love darkness rather than light. That I am not happy with. I take, as God will say, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But it is precious in my sight when a believer dies. Our Father in God, thank you. Deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. God, such a simple thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a wonderful thing, God. Not very much honored, not very much thought about, not very much appreciated. But God, you are committed to be who you are. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. You can be no other than who you are. God, deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. God, thank you for so caring and for so giving us your word, that God, we can get on the right page, in the right spot, in the right way, to be in full harmony with you. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.